the way of sinners and the way of the righteous, the one who's nourished like a well-situated tree. And today the plan is to talk about trees. You don't have a bulletin, but if you did, it would say the sermon title is Tree Day. And our first of several passages that I'll be reading is from Genesis. So we'll start in the beginning, Genesis chapter 2. I'll read verses 8 and 9. And as you're turning there, I'll remind you that this is a part of a series of topical sermons. We're not going through verse by verse. We'll return to that eventually. But this is another topic. And the day series that started a while ago, we're looking at you look at your calendar, and there are all kinds of days set apart. You've got Labor Day that we called Rest Day, and then Fall Day, Election Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Groundhog, Valentine. So, and we're trying to redeem these, buy these back, and put a story of what God's telling. And today we're looking at a Tree Day. Already in April we've had Entry Day, which was Palm Sunday. We looked at Resurrection Day, and then last week was Tax Day. So what about trees? Well, I'll explain that further in just a moment. But for starters, let's start in the beginning, in the Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for revealing truth, for revealing it in writing and in reality, and revealing it in your word made flesh in Jesus. And we thank you for your Spirit, who gives us eyes to see, ears that are able now to hear the good news of a great salvation. Lord, as we gather to receive this news today, we ask that you would grant us grace as well to give it away, to express our gratitude for the grace that you give even to those that you place in our path this week. We ask for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. The occasion for Tree Day is a compilation, if you look at your calendar, which I have been doing. There are two particular days in April. One was last Friday, April 22nd, that was Earth Day. And then this past Friday was Arbor Day. Right? So they're secular holidays, I guess you'd say, and maybe to the point I started reading about the history of these days, and I thought, they get a little preachy and political in parts, and I thought, we will redeem these. Not that I have a problem with the earth per se, nor in planting trees. John Denver had this public service announcement. I don't know if you remember John Denver. Listened to him growing up. But do you remember this one? This stuck in my head for days. I've been singing it this morning. I probably shouldn't start singing it. One, because I don't have as clear of a voice as he does. And also, then it would be stuck in your head and you wouldn't be able to follow. But he talks about plant a tree for your tomorrow. Have you heard this one? It's a little ditty. Plant a tree for your tomorrow. It's your tree that clears the air. Plant a tree. Trees for America. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. Yeah, that's a Tree Day secular style. Actual trees getting planted, and again, I'm all for planting trees. But today, Tree Day has a purpose that is promoting something taller and deeper and wider than a physical tree. The purpose is to see something and to say something eternal by using trees. Physical truths, spiritual truths, by talk of trees. This very week, you might be able to use any number of trees in the Tri-Cities as visual aids for a conversation. Let's say, and this might sound hokey, but it could happen. Let's say that you're on a walk with a friend who does not know Jesus, and you want this friend to know Jesus. Well, how does that happen? Usually there's a messenger. Maybe the messenger is you. So maybe on your walk you see a tree and you say something, maybe this sounds shameless, not just hokey, but you say, "See that tree? That reminds me of something I heard at church. Do tell." It could happen. And so the question will be along the way, can you tell the gospel talking about trees? In view of God's trees, which are all over the place, let's get planted in some tree talk. Not TED Talk, TED Talk for this. For this conversation, you're not going to need a stage, you're not going to need lights, you're not going to need a particular script that is scripted, but you'll need a script from God's Word that hopefully is in your heart and your head to make your point. And maybe even by pointing to a tree. We'll be pointing at trees in the story that God is telling from beginning to end. So let's start by talking about this. The loveliness of trees. If you're a note taker, that'll be a first point. I've got several snapshots coming up here, and I'll let you know when we move on to the next one. And then I'll review along the way. The loveliness of trees. Really, all these points are pretty short. There's one that's a little longer than the others, but they're right to the point. The loveliness of trees. What's the interpretation difficulty here? You can talk about the loveliness of trees. God does here in the passage we just looked at. The loveliness of trees. We just heard from Genesis 2, didn't we? Verse 9, that God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight. It's pleasant. And then even before that, if you glance back at chapter 1, verse 11, we see God speaking these plants and the trees into existence, followed by the commentary in verse 12 there that God saw that it was good. See that? The Lord likes what he made. It's good. It pleases him. It's lovely. And to this day, that truth is ringing true, that all creation seems to like trees. Birds like trees. They land in the trees. Sometimes they live in the tree. Bugs live in trees too. Humans like trees. If there's a storm, we want to get under one. If there's a hot sun, we want to get under one for shade. Cover from trees. Thank you, tree. Even the air seems to like the help of trees, making oxygen, and John Denver would agree. It's your tree that clears the air, he says. Lovely trees, beautiful trees, pine, elm, oak, maple, magnolia, planted to produce and to please. And here on page one of God's Word, you get the picture. So keep that origin story in mind as we move along. It's tree day talk. Talk next, not only about loveliness, but about life and law. That's one point. Life and law, from loveliness to that. And by this point, we'll be pointing to two very particular trees that just got mentioned by name in the verses that we just heard, namely, verse 9, see them there, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See that? Which, by the way, you could probably even call that second tree the tree of death. That sounds like that's more dramatic, maybe. Verses 16 and 17 explain further. If you look with me in Genesis 2, peeking ahead a little bit there. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Yikes. That's heavy lumber. Death for doing that, don't. In that day, you eat of it. So talk about a terrible tree day. And that's what we're doing. Let's do talk about this tree. It's a tree that points not only to knowledge, as the name says, but it points to death. See there, it's put there, it's planted there, it's in Eden, it's in paradise, and yet it's also a portent. It's a picture of something that's up ahead that sounds dastardly. There's a prohibition, there's a command, there's a test. Some call this a probation, a test, a trial period, to see whether, not just whether, but why, even, the image bearer put there in the garden would trust the Lord as king. You trust him. You obey his commands, his law. That's why we're calling this life and law. It's pictured in that tree. One single tree. See all those other trees? They're lovely, aren't they? They are. You may eat of all those. But that one, thou shalt not eat. That's the rule, the law. That's the covenant. That's the consequence. It's tree talk. And it's a matter of life and death. Eternal life and eternal death. If Adam eats of that one tree, he will die. Disobey God and you face his wrath. The curse, the condemnation that comes with it. You don't get the blessing. You don't get life eternal. And these two trees point to that truth. So how are you doing in your tree talk? You following this so far? Just too simple, too hard? Planted in loveliness and life and law. Well, let's move on. I can imagine you on a sidewalk thinking, what was that second point? It's life and law. The third point is what we'll call lapse and lest. If that sounds too clever, I'll explain that. Lapse, L-A-P-S-E, lapsed and lest, L-E-S-T. These take place in the tree talk on tree day, and by the word lapse, we mean fall. You've heard of the fall? That's a lapse. It's a lapse in judgment. It's a moral lapse, a fall from righteousness, from the uprightness that was theirs in God's presence, to the very depths of sin and death and judgment and curses that get pronounced in chapter 3. Now, since part of this same series, we had a whole sermon just on this one, I'm going to dial this one back. If you were here for Fall Day, that's what this point is. Fall Day, back in the fall. Even if you weren't here, I'll remind you that this tree encounter goes something like this. If you glance at chapter 3 there in Genesis, since you should be nearby, which, by the way, in my Bible starts, it's like on the same page where things were going well. So it didn't take long for the serpent to show up. See that verse 1 of chapter 3? And he said, did God actually say that you shall not eat of any tree? You know the story. And it's followed by this conversation with Eve about trees and such. Then the eating of the forbidden tree, verse 6, followed by both Adam and Eve hiding from the Lord where? See that? Verse 8, among the trees. They knew what they had done. They disobeyed. And they had knowledge of evil. And they hid among the trees. And at the end of chapter 3, after pronouncing the curses on the man and the woman and the serpent, we hear this, verse 22. Listen, and you can look there. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. The end. Right? That's a lapse that leads to a lest. They get sent out. Lest he eat of that tree of life, verse 22. And lest means so that, or something like so as to prevent. Sometimes we say, lest ye forget, to use fancy lingo. Lest ye forget. Perhaps the consequences here are what's happening. Maybe it's for their own protection or both. We've got these condemned sinners. You need to get out of this. We need to get you out of the garden. We need to get you away from that tree of life. Lest the lapsed ones, the unholy ones, eat of it. Now, in short, and this is something you can, it seems like this is the part you want to leave out of some stories when you're trying to tell good news. You want to leave this stuff out. Now, let's just jump to the good news. Well, here's the bad news, that there's no place in this garden for any human. I mean, we just went over why. You need to be holy to be in this sanctuary and to be in this place, to be in God's presence. But now none of you are. None of the whole human race right there is, they're not holy. That's very bad news for all the humans. And you're a human. And so am I. And so is your friend, who's trying to put this together and needs truth. And the truth includes very bad news that is expressed in terms of trees. And yet, embedded in the flow of chapter 3, and you may know this, among all this talk of trees, amidst the thunder of divine judgment and curses and this angelic flaming sword, if you look closely, you catch a glimpse of light. Light. And that's the next talking point on Tree Day. Light. It glimmers where? Well, effectively among, well, the trees. This is where the Lord finds the guilty ones. Remember, they're hiding, and notably, even after sin and judgment entered the world under a tree in Eden, what's happening here? It's the Lord. The Lord speaks. Not only these words of curses, he speaks a very particular blessing. And these are good words. A blessed one, a son, a seed of the woman, is going to come and bruise the serpent's head, or as we often say, crush the serpent's head. You see that in Genesis 3:15? This is very much part of your storytelling. Here it's taking place in Eden. Everything just went totally awry, and the Lord says, yes, someday, for sure, a promised one is somehow going to come and reverse this curse and bring life and light to this now darkened world. People talk about light shining through the trees. Yeah, you can do that. This light is the light of the world. This is not just a son, this is God's son. And the rest of the story that God is telling, and the story that you are telling this week, right, is about this son, this seed, who had to come to save the sinners. That includes you and me. And the friend you'll be talking to this week. When you plant a word, when you plant a seed about trees. Trees revealed in God's story. Now, I realize that there are about 1,039 more pages, at least in my Bible, before we get to what's revealed in the Revelation at the very end. See, we're busting out. We're just in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. See, what's the deal with trees? Anything else? There is more. But for the sake of expedience, I will fast forward a little bit and join me. We'll move from loveliness of trees and life and law revealed in trees and lapse and lest here in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And then in general, I'll mention a couple talking points, including this. This is number 5, if you're keeping score. The livelihood and lessons of trees. The livelihood and lessons of trees expressed briefly here, and you might think, well, I won't need these this week because I already am lost. I'll stick with the Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and then I'll fast forward to the Revelation, but don't miss one more. This is more, not just FYI, it's part of the tree talk, and here we have the psalmist is saying something, we have a prophet, an evangelist that I'll cite from here. Tree talk, this goes by pretty quickly, it's part of the picture. Livelihood. In Psalm 1, which we sang, remember that just moments ago? This blessed man who delights in God's law is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's why I'm saying it's lively. There's prospering. There's refreshment. We also come to find, if you've been here for this sermon too, it turns out that the blessed man is Jesus. So that's nice. That works out well in the story. You find your life in him, and then you prosper. You live, Psalm 1. Meanwhile, another very lively picture of trees is expressed in Isaiah's prophecy. I won't have you turn there. It's just one verse. I'll read it. A happy day that goes something like this, quote, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." You like that picture? It's quite a visual that you can use, perhaps if you're talking to your friend about eternal things on a very windy day. You might even add that to your picture. See those trees clapping their hands? That reminds me of the prophet Isaiah. You say, I don't talk like that. In that moment, you might. Spirit has a way of bringing to word your mind words that he's placed in you. Quite a picture. You can delight in it at least. Talk of lessons as well, not just livelihood. Lessons revealed in trees, not only in Genesis that we've been seeing, but if you were here for Palm Sunday, they grabbed the branches from the trees, they put them on the ground, because the King of Glory is coming in, Psalm 24. Who is the King of Glory? It's Jesus. That's good news. King Jesus comes. Jesus himself also offers lessons by way of trees. He tells the listener that you will know a tree by its fruit, and he also says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Yikes. So, my friend, how can I avoid the fire part? Let me tell you about trees. Jesus also gave a lesson from a cursed, withered fig tree, and he wanted you to learn the lesson of that. Matthew 21 and 25. The Apostle Paul talks about a very significant olive tree for which we should be grateful, because there the outsiders and Gentiles get grafted into the story that God is telling, the salvation story. Say, trees, they're in action. They're lively. They give lessons. But let's move on. Still have a couple more talking points about trees in God's story. Next point being called links. Links. And the purpose here is to link or connect three very significant trees that God talks about in his story. And the first one we've already seen, so I'll spot you that one. That was the tree of life. It's planted there in the beginning in the garden. Remember that one? Even before the lapse into the fall, into sin and death and darkness and curses, that tree of life, it connects and it confirms the storyline that's unfolding. So how you doing? You doing okay with the, you got the tree story, you got Genesis? Yeah, I got that one. You lost me on the livelihood ones, but okay. But can you talk about trees this way? We're heading out of Eden. We're heading into eternity. Trees that talk about life eternal. Not too long ago, we had this one point here pretty much featured in Christmas Eve. It's a Christmas Eve service, and you were encouraged to gather around the tree. And so we use Christmas tree to help you think about these trees. This is all coming back. If so, you might want to hold your thought, because you might think, no, So I'm a little bit doomed on this tree talk if I was here for that. Now, if you weren't here, or even if you were, I'll remind you that the trees that we looked at were the garden tree, the Golgotha tree, and the glory tree. Okay? Hopefully that sounds familiar, especially if you were here. If not, you might think, okay, I wasn't here, but I didn't need to remember that. So let me ask you this. Well, fast forward, and well, if you're able to talk about these trees, and very specifically in a way that reveals good news, that's what we're trying to do. You've got your friend there. You've started the conversation. You think, where's the gospel in this? So far, it seems like it's kind of bad news, except for the promise part. Well, the story goes, this talk of trees, it connects to a cross of wood. A cross of condemnation cut from an actual tree, where the Son of Promise himself would be cut off, cursed by God at a very particular place where punishment for sin would get poured out. And that place is called Golgotha. Now, you know the story, John 19, if you don't, I'll just read this brief section. So they took Jesus, this is John 19, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. In short, you can tell your friends and trust the Holy Spirit to plant this word in them as you speak it. Tell them that your problem, my problem, our problem as humans, it started in the garden under a tree. And the solution to that problem was provided on a hill called Golgotha, upon another tree. A cross. That is where the Christ was crucified. The same Christ who was born in a manger, same Christ who was promised in the garden. And strikingly, do you remember in Genesis 3? How the serpent crusher crushes the serpent? Crushes his head. Remember that? That's the picture. That's the promise. And where is the cross planted in God's story? In time and in space, what are we told? It's the place of a skull. That's where the tree was planted. You got the picture? That here at Golgotha, on a tree, the feet of Jesus are on top of a skull, a head, triumphing, crushing the head of the enemy by the sacrifice of himself. What does Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 2? He says this, "He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." Now, there's some good news. We got to the good news. It comes from bad news. Can you tell how good this news is? And let me put it this way, in this question, can you tell this truth to your friends? Jesus came to do what the first Adam failed to do, and that was obey God perfectly. And then Jesus in his flesh, he proceeds to pay the price that the law required, which was death. Physical death, yes. Spiritual death, which required judgment during the eternal wrath of God against the sin, and not just the sin, but against the sinners, as we like to point out. It's a very personal offense. It's not a conceptual offense. People do the disobeying. So somebody has to pay for what happened in the garden, but no mere son of Adam could do that. And so we're going to need a very Merry Christmas. We're going to need a very holy week and a very obedient life of the King of Glory who comes to crush the serpent's head. Become a curse for his people. What does Paul say in Galatians 3:13? Ready for this? It's real straightforward. If you needed a verse in your back pocket for tree day, it might be this. You go from Genesis 3, how about to Galatians 3? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, and then he quotes from Deuteronomy, the law, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. We're talking about trees. And to be hung on a tree meant that you were under God's judgment. Rejected. Jesus suffered that so that his people would not. That's good news. You need to know that. I need to know. Your friend needs to know that. And you can tell that. You can tell this story in terms of trees. There is a children's story, I think I referenced this before, not today, but it's called The Tale of the Three Trees. I thought I'd just do a quick summary of that here if you think, I want a child's version. I think I've given you a child's version. But this one is more, this has different sets of pictures. The Tale of the Three, it's a folk tale, it's author's unknown. And the storyline goes something like this. You have three trees that are dreaming about their future. Again, you think that wouldn't happen. Well, it's a story. And one has aspirations, like when they get harvested and say, I want to be a treasure chest. I want to be made into a treasure. Another one says, no, I want to be a mighty ship. Another one says, I want to be the tallest tree in the world. And then it comes about that the first one was made into a manger for a baby. The second one was made into a humble little fishing boat that was there when a master told the water to be quiet. And the third one, if you know the story, or even if you don't, not the tallest tree, but it was turned into a cross of wood until all was finished and God's justice was satisfied. The story of trees. You can tell good news by way of trees. Peter adds in Acts chapter 5, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed, by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. See, it's all the same story. It's all the same story. And I'm giving you these links that are about trees, and they're connected. We've got the garden, Golgotha, and glory, trees, significant trees that tell us the story of one who's lost in Adam and restored in Jesus, the true Adam. And significantly, we have the revelation showing us something about the tree of life. It reappears. It seems to be practically transplanted from the beginning of the story. It shows up in the paradise of God. It was in the Garden of Eden, last we saw, and now it's, there it was guarded by the angel and the sword. Man not allowed to come back and eat from it. But now evidently it shows up as something's changed. Now there's a tree, it's accessible. You can reach out to the tree of life. That's what John sees. If you're given the right to the tree of life, what he says in Revelation 2:7, he explains it this way. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And then later in the Revelation, we hear this. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. Right, so here's the question for you and your friend Do you have the right to reach out to the tree of life that's in the paradise of God, that's in heaven and glory? Are you free to reach and to eat its fruit? And I'll just tell you the way John summarizes things here that, yeah, and he says this in his writings. Of course, he sees it in the Revelation. He's got his gospel writing. He's got his letters. And John wants you to know that for anyone who trusts Jesus, you are the conqueror. You are the overcomer because he is. And your trust is in him. And he gives you access. Because Jesus is the hero of the story. And so we all need to ask and answer particular questions and even tell the truth of the story. Maybe the question might be to yourself or to your friend, are you part of this story? Are you a participant in the story? Are you able to tell this true story? Because ultimately, the talk of trees, it's not about Earth Day. It's not about Arbor Day. It's not about planting physical trees. It's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. And as a very quick final point for your tree talk day, let me offer this. Love and look. Love and look. First, we see in talk of loveliness and life and law and lapse and lust and light and livelihood, lessons and links that connect to trees. But also the talk of trees needs to be motivated by love. That's why you want to tell this story, because you love. You love with words. You love with talk. You love with talk from God's word, with conversations that seek to see Jesus and his cross. Even to say to someone you love this week, look, 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 that tree reminds me of some really good news. A story close to my heart. A story that comes full circle as the tree of life and the tree of curse, the cross, practically come together in the end to proclaim something, to proclaim a great salvation, a cure for the curse, a healing for the nations, very happy reunion, even as John sees it and tells the truth in the last chapter of the Bible, revealed in these words. On the other side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face. That's a story to tell. To proclaim, to plant, and to watch grow as the Lord brings the growth all the way to glory. Let's pray together. Lord, on this Lord's Day, we consider trees that are revealed in your story. We pray for gratitude as we see this story as true from you. And also, Lord, we pray for grace in telling this story as true about you, about Jesus, his cross, the new life that only he can give, as your Spirit brings that truth to life in us. Lord, cause that truth to spring to life in the hearts and minds of those that we love and in those that you place in front of us, even on a regular basis. Grant boldness, grant discernment into lives and minds, and provide the words, the seeds, the fruit that you produce when you plant your seed and grow it into life everlasting. We ask for this fruitfulness and this faith revealed in Jesus' name. Amen. We respond to this word with a song. The song is number 460. We'll stand as we sing 460.